AI has taken over the internet. Wrong answers, made-up facts. You ask a simple question and get a generated essay nobody asked for. Technology trying to decide for you and still getting it wrong. The internet didn't used to be this way. When you just want to search anything online and find what you need, Startpage is the private search engine that keeps it simple. Real links, less noise, and we don't keep track of what you asked. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
Ohio State hasn't won anything yet. That wasn't Ryan Day talking. That was Edrick Houston. So that coaching message trickling right down to the Buckeyes. Welcome into a Woody Wednesday, snap judgment style. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. The Buckeyes also practiced in here on a Wednesday night. A little bit of a change in routine.
Yeah. Did anybody ask Ryan Day why that was the case? I wasn't over there right at the start of his moment.
Somebody suggested to me that it might just be a good thing to avoid those lower temperatures for a night. If you have any sort of lingering health concerns, muscle injuries, tightness, anything like that, if it's not necessary, and if you're not going to be playing in that same weather on Saturday night, there might not be a benefit. That's just one person that said that.
It makes sense.
And I didn't ask Ryan Day.
It adds up. But yeah, indoors, they did a nice job in here. The lights are a lot better. You can see things. Why would you not use this beautiful facility?
Yeah. So Ryan Day, we got the Wednesday night lightning round sneak peek that Ohio State has to keep great focus, great energy, and they need a great finish because they haven't won anything yet.
But Ryan Day also did say that.
Right. That's Ryan Day.
Yeah. He said that as well.
And then he gave that, probably what I suspect happens, give that in the huddle, and then the players absorb that message. And you can normally tell the level of buy-in on if they give Ryan Day's talking points back out. And Edrick Houston, that's somebody we've spent the last couple of months talking about, and he mentioned it himself. I've got to be more coachable. I think that's one example of him taking that message directly off the practice field and then passing it right along to us.
Yeah, because what it is him directly mimicking the not just that point, but also the one that he spent a little bit more time detailing, which is the red line. Like once you cross over, like the people here at Ohio State, Ryan Day, the mental health people that are here, like they're here to help you. Though they want you to be unhinged and be a lunatic as much as you can be on the field.
Wild cards,
and then they want you to be able to turn it off when you get off the field. And Edrick Houston, I think maybe has struggled at times with conflating those lines and saying, well, sometimes I'm a little unfocused here. Sometimes I'm a little undisciplined here. Sometimes I need to do a little bit more listening and less emoting. And then it's starting to pay off. And now you see him getting back into the starting rotation last week. Obviously, that's with Tywan Malone not playing. We'll see if Tywan is back this week or not. We were told everyone was out here on the practice field. Now, that doesn't mean squat heading into Saturday, but we did not see Tywan Malone after practice, so which is not altogether that unusual. If a guy is dealing with some stuff, he might get in and do some treatment before others anyway. So
yeah, was certainly looking for Tywan Malone because there a great number of defensive ends and defensive linemen were getting extra work. I believe Edrick Houston said that Matt Patricia tells them to get 100 shots up after practice. The last two from the Rushmen that were out here were Logan George and Caden Curry. They were working with Matt Patricia, so everyone knows on a Wednesday night, snap judgments, I keep track of that. Last offensive lineman in the corner, Ethan Onyanwa. Why is that important? It certainly appears as if Josh Padilla is not going to make it back by this week. Ryan Day had said it. They didn't think it was a long-term situation. Maybe he will play against UCLA. Rutgers would be the target. If not, doesn't look like the likelihood of Josh Padilla going in there and playing at guard on Saturday against the Bruins is going to happen.
Just doesn't look any better than it did last week at this time based on what we saw. I don't know if it's just a setback on a Wednesday night. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Yep.
That's the ultimate. The big picture of the right guard situation is it doesn't matter really who's rotating in with Tegra Shibola. I believe that there's a belief here that Ohio State thinks
double belief.
Tegra's best football is when he is rotating, and it allows him an opportunity to regain some focus and go back out there and not put himself in a position where he maybe starts to get tired physically, which leads to letdowns mentally. So Gabe Van Sickle, Ethan Onyanwa, if Josh Padilla can't go on Saturday, I think you're going to see, I wouldn't say it's a three-way split, but I think if it's 60 plays, I think you're going to see 30 from Tegra and 30 from the other two combined. So whether that's Padilla and Onyanwa or Gabe Van Sickle and Onyanwa or however you want to break it down. What's interesting is that we still don't really know the long-term issue with Philip Daniels. And so how does that change things for Saturday? We'll see. But as far as tonight and the right guard situation, that's kind of the vibe we're getting. It seems unlikely that we'll get Padilla back for Saturday.
And that's the other complicating factor, is that Ethan Onyanwa is basically at this point the only true swing guy that Ohio State uses in the ability to play both guard or tackle. So if Philip Daniels doesn't play, you know, Ian Moore certainly made the most of his opportunities against Purdue, but you could see Ethan Onyanwa involved there in addition to playing guard. So a lot of moving pieces. This is an opportunity that you can rotate still, where you don't have to panic about it. But clearly and undoubtedly, Ohio State wants to get some of this resolved, because, you know, by the time they get to November 29th in the Big House, you need to be able to control the line of scrimmage against a team that's much more capable of winning in the trenches than either UCLA or Rutgers.
Yeah, and you just want to figure. I specifically asked Ryan Day walking off the field something that I've been thinking about, and you'll hear about it tomorrow morning on the beat, is that, is there a point of diminishing return? And I want to know, like, at what point do you say this is actually hurting us to keep rotating? And Ryan Day's response was he doesn't think it is. So my opinion doesn't really matter, to be very clear. So I think it's probably not best suited for, but the contention or the argument here is what I already said about Tegra. Like, if he's best for 35 plays, then just give him 35 plays.
Because sure,
you're risking a lot more if he's playing 25 snaps that are unfocused. So now, obviously, the hope is that for a guy who's in his fourth year at Ohio State, like, eventually that focus will continue to expand and you won't have to worry about that. But that's not the case right now. So we'll see.
We did hear from Edric Houston and Will Smith Jr. both. So even though we didn't see Taiwan Malone, we don't know how much he might play on Saturday against UCLA or how much he might be needed. That's also a tribute to those couple guys that we got to talk with. The on the rise, both Will Smith, you know, really July till now. Edric Houston, a shorter window, perhaps. We thought that he would come out swinging, got injured on the first day of training camp, and that injury sort of really derailed a lot of this progress for him. But you're seeing, alongside Caden McDonald, a couple of these guys rising right there. You're looking for Jarquez Carter to help as well down the stretch. Jason Moore got some reps against Purdue. But really, if you're talking about Ohio State reaching its potential in December and January, Will Smith Jr. and Edric Houston have to be involved in that.
And Edric said his goal every play is to just not be blocked. And I'm like, well, you're going to get blocked sometimes. So the question is, how do you do that then without throwing a punch at someone? How dare they block me? Well, how dare you, sir? It's their job as well.
Bite my thumb at you.
Edric is a difference maker when he's healthy and he's mentally where he needs to be. And so we're going to see that continue. I think that, you know, going back to the point about the red line, he brought up when he was asked, like, about the defensive line and what it's been like to play next to Caden McDonald. He's like, yeah, that's great, but I also have Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese and Peyton Pierce and Jermaine Matthews and Caleb Downs and all those guys behind me. So the more I think about that, the conversations he's had with Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry about their challenges here, I think are really where that support that Ryan Day is preaching to these kids about can be best seen and best exemplified. Because it's one thing to have Ryan Day tell you, it's going to, you know, working on your mental health. It's different when it's your peers and it's your teammates and it's the guys you're lining up against. And Caden McDonald and Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson say, man, I went through this exact same thing when I was in your year and I didn't get to play. So, like, yeah. I think that there's a value there that Edric is really getting out of it. And it's pretty wild to see. We were supposed to talk to all four running backs tonight. We did not get C.J. Donaldson out here. You did ask Ryan Day about C.J. Donaldson and something we've been talking about since Monday at the live show at Roosters, which is, could he play fullback?
Yeah, the answer is yes, he could. Now, Ryan Day, he's not ever going to give away a game plan. He's not going to assist the opponents with a peek inside what the personnel is going to look like and what they might do. But he said that conversation has been ongoing. And the couching part was, well, the tight end room is really deep. And because I included the fact that Nate Roberts has seemingly, you know, struggled a little bit. He said, well, Max Clair can do some of this over here. You know, CJ could do some of the things that Max Clair does. You know, you have a little bit of this, you know, stuff that you do with Will Kazmarek. Maybe CJ Donaldson could do that. He executed that play, the Lincoln Kienholz quarterback power run, to perfection. And that's really what got me thinking, and it got us talking about it on Monday. So that could happen. And I almost feel like it must happen once you get into the talent equated games. And I say that again, it's not to pick on Nate Roberts. I think he's going to be a tremendous player down the road. I just think physically he's not capable, not ready yet to go be fully unleashed in that role in grown man talent equated games, matchup games. Again, That's not, I don't mean that as an insult, but if even if you're just comparing C.J. Donaldson physically, and he's done the H-back things, he's done the fullback things before, which is what Ryan Day mentioned. There's a lot of that in his background, whether that's tight end, wide receiver, you know, the running back stuff. He's got that versatility. And what does Ohio State and Ryan Day talk about more than anything else?
Lately, versatility.
Versatility. So C.J. Donaldson is that guy for me. And I know it'll be tough, too, because he's also got a billion touchdowns this year.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a bigger picture question. When you asked Ryan Day about it, the first thing he said, well, those are heavy collisions.
Yeah.
And so the point is...
Well, so are the ones that C.J. Donaldson's taking with the football.
Well, I think what he's saying is if Nate got hurt in a heavy collision... It's more workable aroundable than
you like that?
More work aroundable than C.J. Donaldson getting hurt and what losing him in the backfield could do for this team.
Sure.
Now, I don't personally buy that either because, again, as we've talked about, I think you can give the ball to Bo Jackson and Isaiah West inside of the 5-yard line and let them score touchdowns as well. But it was an interesting side discussion because there are so many things that C.J. Donaldson can do. And everyone sees it. But you're talking about versatility. It's also offensive versatility. If you have C.J. Donaldson in that role, you can do a lot more things to confuse a defense than perhaps you can if you have Nate Roberts out there. So, again, don't want to put down the role for Nate and say this isn't working because, obviously, Ohio State's done that every game. I mean, he was out there against Texas in game one. Like, it is a part of this offense, whether we like it or not. And so now it's just about finding ways. Ryan Day talked about it on Tuesday, saying, like, the run game, it takes time to get there. There are certain things that take time. I don't know how much more time you have to figure out if that package is going to be what you want. And when you have essentially the second of what could be three scrimmage-esque type of games, I don't know. It seems like the right time to me to try some stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the dilemma because they – clearly want Nate Roberts to be involved. They're trying to speed up the learning curve for him. And you can say you're a 4-touchdown favorite against UCLA. The same is going to be true against Rutgers. Why not get him some reps? And my thinking is, all right, but if you're going to eventually make a change and you might put C.J. Donaldson at fullback, maybe now is a better time to start. You're at the end of the year because the one thing that you can't microwave, and if tight end is a development position, Nate Roberts can't suddenly become a junior just by because you've played him 9 games. So, like, physically, he's not going to change that much down the stretch. And all of this, I know, sounds like nitpicking and picking on a true freshman who's done nothing wrong. Yeah. Ohio State trusts him to go execute these plays. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. That's not uncommon for someone in their first year in the program and at that spot. But when we're trying to piece together everything and how that impacts November 29th and everything after that, is that the best version of Ohio State in the red zone? For me, on the outside, I'd say no. And it's up to Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and Keenan Bailey to come to that conclusion themselves. And if they continue to put it out there, so be it.
Yeah, and again, it's not meant to disparage a freshman who's being out there doing his job. But when you're thinking, how do we make this the best, most fully functional Death Star? Like, I just don't know that continues to give you the best chance to blow up Alderaan.
But we did hear from the rest of those running backs, anything stand out to you? James Peoples, Isaiah West, and Bo Jackson. None of those guys had, maybe James Peoples had, but Isaiah and Bo Jackson, that was their in-season media debut on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I did not listen to anything at the James Peoples table, to be perfectly honest. It's not because I'm trying to dismiss him. We've never heard from Isaiah or Bo, so I wanted to listen to those guys. What you really hear is just like growing confidence every week. They're extremely tight. They came into this class together. They got to Ohio State in January together. They got an opportunity to go through some things. Isaiah wasn't able to play until really like July, and basically Bo was one of the guys pulling him along and trying to make sure that he was staying confident. And I asked Isaiah, and like, how crazy is it to you that neither of you really played football in high school a year ago?
Yeah.
Bo barely played any running back in high school at all. And here you are now, 9 months into your Ohio State career, 10 months, 11 months. This ain't a math show. And now you're like the guys. And like, he's like, that is crazy. Like, I don't. So
you're right, Berm.
I think that they're like, yeah, hey, this is an opportunity that. They knew that there was going to be an open window for them to play early, but that window has been like blown out.
There's no way they could have thought it'd be this.
No, and now like you have all the doors, all the windows open. Like, go ahead, do whatever, you know, whatever you can be, whatever you can show us. And you know, Isaiah West, if you're a social media user, I'm sure this week you saw clips of him as in pass protection against Purdue, or what we would describe as attempted pass protection against Purdue. Like, these are the things that
probably the single scariest play for Ohio State on Saturday.
So like, when you get into, it's a similar conversation we're having with Nate Roberts. Like, you're going to put these guys out there, and I think it's a good idea to let freshmen who are capable of playing play, because you don't want to discourage freshmen from coming here if they but that means that there's going to be scary moments. And so the thing for Isaiah West, I really was impressed by the fact that he said he knows that if he goes out there and tries to hit home runs, that's when he's going to miss a crease. That's when he's going to run into the back of an offensive lineman. And we've talked about the running back rotation and splitting carries around here for 8 years now, going back to 2018, really, with J.K. Dobbins in his second year at Ohio State when he's splitting carries with Mike Weber.
I think it's really gone back to like every single year I've covered Ohio State.
We've talked about it a lot. And the point is, the mentality of saying, I'm in the game now, I have to make the most of this, I need to try to be Superman.
Yep.
For a freshman to not have that approach, I think is really mature. I don't know. It's just interesting to talk to these kids, because I mean, I haven't really spoken to Isaiah since last November when he was, you know, getting ready to enroll at Ohio State. So like, you start to see the development and the maturity. They take on the attitude of their coaches, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's remarkable that those freshmen haven't really been guilty of that so far. And really, that some of the rough start, the inconsistency from James Peoples, you know, seemed to be caused by some of that trying to hit a home run with limited opportunity of reps. And I think he's come out on the other side of that. I think Carlos Lachlan has done a really good job managing that group, because it's not been an easy scenario. We knew they were going to be talented. But replacing Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson with a transfer portal veteran who was losing 25 pounds, James Peoples barely playing any football as the third guy a year ago for Ohio State, and then Isaiah West and Bo Jackson barely playing at all as seniors in high school. And it's like, here you go. Can you replace these two top two-round draft picks? And has it been perfect? No. Is there any reasonable expectation that it would have been, considering that group that I just described? No, but there are clear signs of improvement, I think, with all four of them.
It seems more and more that Ohio State is coming around to the idea that Isaiah West and Bo Jackson have to be your bell cow backs, your primary ball carriers. We talked about that last week. Those guys wouldn't be out here tonight if the program didn't think that they were worthy of that opportunity and that they were going to continue to give them more. So we'll see how that plays out on Saturday, depending on weather and everything else. But I think you're going to see a heavy, heavy dose of Bo and Isaiah as your primary ball carriers from now till the end of the season.
Yeah, that next chance for Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, the rest of those running backs to take a step forward will be Saturday night, 7:30 in the Horseshoe. Another practice out of the way for the Buckeyes, and another episode of Snap Judgments in the bag. We will continue to see what happens with the availability report, who else might play or not play against the Bruins.
We did not see Carnell Tate. We should probably mention it. It wasn't because we didn't see.
We have no update. As Ryan Day said on Tuesday, no update.
We did not see a single receiver. They were all off.
Austin Bermshow has no update either. We did not see them. Did not see the wide receivers at all. So,
make of it what you will.
And that could be nothing, because
it should be nothing.
I bet the situation is probably going to be pretty similar on Saturday night. But that's just a prediction. That is not any accurate reporting, because I'm just of the mindset that we're going to have to wait until about 5:30, maybe even later, maybe 6:30, and see how warmups go for a bunch of these Buckeyes who are working through late season health concerns. That's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the Big Ten. All you have to do is keep focus, keep energy, and then go finish Saturday night starting at 7:30. This episode is now complete. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. These have been Snap Judgments. Thanks for following along on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, anywhere you get podcasts. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning on The Beat.
Your 2 a.m. questions are nobody's business. Not the symptoms you're scared to tell your doctor. Not the money worries. Not the things you'd rather keep private. Right now, companies are using what you look up online to track, target, and make a fortune off your secrets. Startpage keeps your curiosity private. It's the private search engine that helps you find what you need without the spying and without the noise. Nobody in your business, no saved search history. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.